All right, so are we ready? You got
yep.
the intro?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I start it?
Yeah, you start.
Okay, where it says Patrick?
Yeah.
Okay. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
It's our first ever event with paying customers.
Oh, yeah, but I forget, Jim, how much do we have to pay these people?
All right, theme music.
Yeah, okay.
We had that in post.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Post what?
All right, so we're here at Spaces in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We are out of the basement up on the sixth floor of this office tower.
This is by far the most luxurious place that we've ever recorded our podcast in, without a doubt. Most well-appointed and just smells the best, too. It's really nice in here. Smells better than my basement with all my records.
It is great, yep. and we have peoples here.
Yeah, we do. Thanks, guys. Thanks, audience. Hey, what's up?
So, we want to give some thanks out, but first let's introduce ourselves for those of you who are new and not familiar with the show. This show is called Rockin' the Suburbs, and we are conveniently in the suburbs, mm-hmm. just in a different state than we normally reside. And I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us today, we have special guest, Don Zantara.
Yes.
Hello, Don.
Hi.
So thank you, Don.
We'll get to Don in just a second. Let me get these thank yous going. I want to thank Spaces for having us here.
Absolutely. Thanks, Spaces.
People apparently work here. Like,
this is a working space. It's one of those work during the day spaces. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some people working over there. So they're working at night.
That may be unfamiliar to you.
It is. I don't do much working during the day.
Yeah.
So. If you're missing all this, we'll roll the credits at the end.
Yeah. That's right.
But let us also thank Alex Vidalis for setting
this
up.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
Invited us to
thanks,
come
Alex.
Out.
Thanks, Alex.
Everyone give Alex a hand.
And Alex does a whole series of podcasts, which this is a part of.
That's right. So yeah. We've been chosen.
That's right.
That's right.
Probably for the first and last time. It's like when you get picked at kickball and then, wow, that guy's terrible. I'm not going to pick him again.
No, we'll be okay. I think we're going to pass the audition.
Okay, good.
We're going to do it. All right. Alex is involved with DC Podfest, so let's thank DC Podfest.
Yep.
As you mentioned, they do this podcast series. And also presenting this is Fusebox Radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck Levins provided the audio equipment for this.
Oh, man.
Deluxe audio equipment.
We've been to Chuck Levins, Andy, right? Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And our guest today knows something about audio equipment.
Just a little bit.
I mentioned Don Zantara. So, Don, again, welcome.
Thank you.
And Patrick, you grew up here in Northern Virginia, the DC area,
mm-hmm.
right at like the perfect time for this conversation, right? Tell people who aren't familiar with Don, you know, do a little bit of setup here.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just want to say that, you know, for me and for Andy Dubuque, who's out in the audience, a part of my band who once recorded in an Inner Ear studio, that name Inner Ear became legendary to us because it was the home of our artistic freedom and artistic expression and anger and passion and everything that we loved about independent music. And Don is much more than just an owner of a studio. He's an artist. He's a producer. He's an engineer. He's a songwriter, performer. He's a parent. He's a surfer.
I'm very apparent.
He's really a Renaissance individual and, you know, has had obviously a deep association with Discord Records and some of the bands that were produced there, even bands that weren't on Discord like Bad Brains and many bands that came after. But Don, if you don't mind, let's go back to the sort of the beginning of that studio. I've always wondered, how much money did you invest to get that first studio operational, the one that was in your basement in Arlington?
Not much.
Not much.
It showed in the early days. it was pretty Spartan equipment. A stereo tape recorder.
Okay.
Start with that. Vocals one side on one track, music on the other. And microphones were, I think, some of Radio Shack's best. they came with their own cables, so I didn't have to spend for that. I had to buy the AA batteries to put in them. And that was about it. Mixing-wise, it was extremely crude. I built my first mixer, and I built a couple mixers right after that. going into it. So it was just very, very, very Spartan. A lot of the monitoring equipment was on the small side, you might say. So it wasn't the best equipment at all. But at the time, punk was emerging.
Uh-huh.
And they were looking at excitement and energy. And they weren't so much intrigued with equipment. Yeah.
So it worked out.
So it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was just there at the right time. It was just serendipity, really.
And was it Nee, I'm sorry, Jim, was it Nee, Don, that propelled the first outside people to come and record? Or was it you reaching out to people? Or how did that first, you know, client, I guess, come to inner ear?
Well, Skip Groff, who died just about a month ago.
Yes, rest in power.
Yes. And we were just at his memorial a couple weeks back, a week or so back. He was the manager for a group called the Slicky Boys. And I was in some bands, and the guitarist from one of the band went into another band. You know how bands migrate from one to another and evolve and change personnel all over the place. And basically, they asked me, hey, we're playing, would you mind recording us? And I didn't mind it at all. So at the time, I had, like I said, I had cheap microphones. I think I had a Shure mixer. If you remember those, they had volume controls. That's it. Absolutely it. And we recorded them at a place called AU Tavern at the time. I remember it very well. And the Slicky Boys were playing at the time. And they asked me, hey, if you got an extra roll of tape, can you just record us? And I did. I had a roll of tape, and I recorded them. And Skip Groff was their manager, and he came over when it was finished to mix it with them. And he saw the setup, and he wasn't disgusted by it. So he brought other bands in, like the Teen Idols. And later on, the Minor Threat. And later on, the Bad Brains. And it just sort of evolved from there, where it got a reputation for recording good punk bands. But that's, a lot of it was because the studios that were there, that were set up, just kind of thought the whole punk thing was teenage kids playing around.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they didn't know their instruments too well. They didn't know how to play too well. But they had the energy. And that's what I sort of tried to capture. The playing was almost kind of secondary in a way.
So the original Inner Ear studio in your basement just kind of happened organically.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually was on the porch initially. And it moved down to the basement. Yeah. I got tired of stringing the cables all the way downstairs and into the basement area where they played.
So for all the you know, kids and music fans in the 80s who would buy these records, 7 inches and albums, independent records, things like that, and would see Inner Ear Studios, and you'd see it on a lot of releases, yeah, right? If you were, you know, into that kind of music, you'd be like, they probably did not realize that that was just like a home based.
You're going to say, right? A hole in the wall, right? Yeah, it was. That's right.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
so.
And I never knew. Yeah.
But really, the people that listened to the records, didn't care.
Not at all.
They were looking for something else. And so that it really sort of served the purpose. It served the need at just the right time.
Yeah.
I think, you know, today if you started like that, it just wouldn't work.
My HOA probably wouldn't allow it.
Probably not.
But what did your neighbors think of this?
Well, we kind of got along and we kind of disagreed on certain things. And you know, they were infractions here and there. And we kind of agreed that, okay, we'll stop at this point or we won't do it then. And, you know, we went over times and stuff like, oh, we won't do it again and stuff like that. It's the usual neighborly thing. But the police were never called.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. That's very good.
Well, you win.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So it did. I consider it a win.
Yeah.
In that respect. And of course, it was a residence. So the parking was atrocious usually. And, you know, hauling equipment in. And I had, at the time, I had one little girl to start out. And I remember, I mean, Ian MacKay remembers him trying to haul an amplifier in. And she was kicking him in the shins as he was walking in the door, you know, trying to make him drop it. So, you know, you put up with stuff like that.
I think this is what people, I'm just going to cut right to this. This is what people want to know. After all these years, what is the secret to recording a great punk record?
Having a good monitor system.
Okay.
You got to know what's coming in. That's all. I mean, the microphones, everything else is all irrelevant, but you got to know what's coming in and you got to be able to control that and as much as you can. That's about it. That and providing a comfortable place to record. It's got to be some place that works for the people that are coming in. And this goes for, you know, besides punk, it goes beyond that. It's got to be comfortable. It's got to be something where it doesn't make people anxious, or at least it tries its best not to make them anxious.
The home setup was really conducive for these kids to their best work to come out, right? If they were in a more, you know, traditional studio, it probably wouldn't have sounded the same.
Right. Besides the bruises on the shins.
That's right. And I thought you were going to say, though, the secret is a big soup pot.
Oh, well, that's...
You want to tell that story?
Yeah, that's for one song. For Stepping Stone, I think it was, I forget what record, Minor Threat Records in. I think it's a 5-song EP or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They had their songs set. And Skip Groff was putting out the record or helping them put out the record.
Yeah.
Because it was coming out on Discord. And he said, oh, you got room for one more song, put one more song. They had Stepping Stone done, their song that a lot of bands, punk bands covered at the time. I think everyone covered it.
Right.
And it was, well, as everybody knows, sometimes a lot of punk songs are like it goes up to 10, stays at 10, and then it goes back down to 0 at the end of the song. And I just wanted to get a little playful with it. So he put a pair of headphones that had a feed from the mixer into a big soup pot, real big. It was actually a clam bake pot. The clams were gone. The lobster was gone. There may have been a couple of years of corn in there, but who knows? And a microphone. And so the song starts with just that sound of those headphones playing into the microphone inside of this pot. And you could hear it just being, well, you could hear it just being kind of crappy sounding. And eventually I just sort of bring in the other instruments. It sort of just gains this energy as it goes along. And I think that highlighted a lot of what they wanted to do, just to bring in the energy. And I remember because I was talking about it to Mark Jenkins just at Skip's Memorial and telling him the same story. And, you know, Ian butted in. He said, he's told me before, when he and Jeff Nelson, who were Discord, when they heard it, they first heard it, their reaction when it started out was, you know, what the crap is this? You know, what is going on? Because they weren't there to mix it.
Yeah.
They just basically said, hey, just mix it.
Right.
And you know, we're going to throw it out.
We're just filling up space.
It's a throwaway.
Yeah.
It's basically a throwaway.
Yeah.
And it took them a couple listens through to really start getting and warming up to it and getting the song.
And so, you know, you moved to a location off 4 Mile Run Drive in Arlington, a
yes.
bigger, better space. And
yes.
I was talking to Brad Mailer and Andy, who also was in my band, Wingtip Slit, and we recorded there in August of 1990 when there really wasn't anything in there. You know, we were chatting about this mm-hmm. before. And now when Jim and I were there, you know, a couple weeks ago, it's so covered with record covers and vibe and that oh. and that feeling. How do you feel like that current space has evolved? Because it doesn't feel, when you walk in there, it doesn't feel professional. It doesn't feel major label. You know, it feels very down home. It does feel like you could be in somebody's basement. Mm-hmm. Was that intentional when you set up that new space? Did you want to keep that same basement home studio vibe, but just make it a little bigger and more accessible and broader? Or did you have a vision when you made that move?
The vision was to have a bigger space.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was the main vision, right? Yeah,
because I'd grown out of equipment.
Right.
A matter of fact, in the basement, we had a rack, just like an equipment rack, but it was set in the wall because there wasn't room in the room for it.
So you just cut some drywall and shove something in there?
Exactly. But to access any of it, you had to go in the other room, and there was a door in the other room. That you'd access and plug stuff in, take stuff out.
Andy, are you listening?
Yeah. So we needed to have bigger space. And I just believe in evolution of spaces. And it just sort of grew up the way, you know, I stuck stuff on the wall. Some of it wasn't the best design-wise or allocation of space. Matter of fact, there's, you know, lots of records that I haven't put on the wall. Lots of CDs that are on the
yep.
wall. They just went up, and then I realized that, whoops, I'm kind of full here, you know, unless I move into the recording studio.
Right.
And I don't want to do that, really. In the recording studio, there's really no representation of any kind of groups.
Right.
Yeah, because you don't want to look who's been there before. You want to concentrate on your
right.
own music.
Yeah, you don't want to be reminded of somebody yeah. else's yeah. album.
There's
yeah.
art, but that's it.
Right.
But we'll embarrass Patrick for a minute here. He forgot yeah. to mention, though, that his band went to the wrong place.
That's right. Well, I think, you know, Brad can speak to that. I think Brad led us to the old house originally, right, mm-hmm. Brad? And we were like, oh, it's not here anymore. Someone met us at the door. But literally, we were one of the early bands to record there, right, Brad? Yeah. It was like a lot of paneling, and it was pretty early on, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Turner was there, and we booked the overnight session yeah. as we were talking about. It was a way to mm-hmm. to kind of get some money going. You wanted to record, yep. you know, as many hours as possible yep. to sort of get it off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we took advantage. If you booked overnight, you got a better rate. Right?
I think it was right? it was less than half price or something like that. It was a great deal exactly. for us. And again, you know, for us at that time, inner ear was still a mark of quality. So to be able to have quality and just, oh, all you have to do is start at 1 a.m. Sure, we'll do that. And
yeah.
Jeff Turner made coffee and
which
you know,
is great.
It was fine.
Which
yeah.
is great until you go bang on the door at the house.
That's
at
right.
1 a.m.,
yeah.
Right?
That's right. Yeah. That was bad. And that was the bad part.
That was bad.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
did happen when you banged on the door?
I think somebody, you remember, Brad? Somebody gently pointed us toward the real studio, I think, at that point. Yeah.
As long as no firearms were involved.
That's right. No, or the police. Yeah, it was good.
All right. So I want to ask this, going back again to the 80s, early 90s Discord records. Did you think when you were recording this stuff, especially, you know, in your home, did you think these records would have this kind of lasting appeal, this kind of legacy?
Are you kidding me? No, of course not. I mean, nobody thinks they're doing anything significant in the art world at the time they're doing it. I mean, if you do, chances are you're going to be knocked on your ass at some point. But you just, you do the stuff and you hope that when you, you know, once again, it's just throw the spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. And that was what it was. Because punk music was not my choice of music at the time, stylistically. I knew how to handle it. I knew how to record it, but that didn't mean it was something that I listened to 24 hours a day. So it was something that just sort of came about. It could easily not have. I mean, there's lots of people that are involved. I could, you know, give you a list of people that, you know, if they hadn't have pushed it in the city, it would never have come out. It was, you know, you would hear about Seattle first.
Right. Yeah. When did you realize, hey, we really did something great there?
Last week.
When we booked you for this. No, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, you got invited me on a podcast.
Rock in the Suburbs called. Yeah, I knew it was big.
It was an evolving thing because the bands were touring. They were putting out more output, more songs, more albums. I think, you know, I remember when Discord had its 100th release. They, you know, and that was many years ago.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And that's a lot of people listening, hearing, reading the words, seeing, you know, the straight edge lifestyle and the kind of things that are going on and learning about DC and DC punk.
And as we lead into the end of this, Jim, Don, have you, at that point when you started, had you always been writing songs? Had you always been, you know, a songwriter, a guitar player in the early days, or was that something that developed later?
I had always been writing songs.
Okay.
Since elementary school.
Wow.
Yeah, so a lot of some of the things today are from that time. Some aren't, but they're... from elementary school days, instead of doing my homework, I was writing songs, you know, playing guitar.
And that's great for everyone here in the room. You're going to get an extra special treat. Don's going to play a couple songs at the end of this episode. And for all the listeners, you're going to hear some original Don Z songs too, which is amazing. Yep.
It's fantastic. So, why don't we do that now?
Yeah, right? let's do it.
A couple songs now. So while you're getting your guitar, you set up, we're going to do, a little promo.
Yes, we are.
For another event that we have coming up.
That's right.
So we'll do that while you're getting ready there.
Because we're always hustling. That's right. I only have one line, which makes it even better.
So I just want to tell people that that we're going to be doing another live event. It involves a movie screening with a filmmaker. And this is the promo for that I'm going to read now. And I think it's always the mark of great comedy when you have to explain it.
That's right. Yeah.
Before you do it.
It's not funny unless you explain it to somebody why it's funny. Yes.
All right. We ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
You got your
hand? Yeah, I don't have much here. Yep.
Wednesday, April 24th at Smokin' Sun Cinema. Watch the best movie about whether Led Zeppelin played a secret show in Maryland in the country. Then witness the brute force of dangerous dual microphones as heroic hosts throw incendiary queries at ferocious filmmaker Jeff Krulik. From Ohio, Jet Engine Jim's whiskey-fueled mouth approaches speeds of 230 miles per hour. From Virginia, Petroleum Patrick's beer-infused brain lurches into extreme overdrive. Sun Cinema is located at 3107 Mount Pleasant Street, 1 mile west of Route 29 in Washington, D.C. Spectator admission, only $12. Be screenside at 8 p.m. Wednesday, April 24th for all the excitement and enjoyment of a supercharged, nitro-powered documentary screening and Q&A session with the filmmaker. Wednesday.
A Rock in the Suburbs promotion. Sorry, camper parking not available.
Camper.
That's
parking?
The comedy. Yeah, you can't bring your camper. Apparently,
all right.
That's right.
All right. How is that?
That's why I tried to explain.
So
that
it can only
guys.
Go up from there, right?
No, I can't follow that. I just can't follow. I'm out of here, guys.
So Don, what are we going to hear?
We're going to hear a song called "So Long." This was on one album. I can't remember which one. I don't remember what they are, but I'm going to run it through anyway. One question I question too many. One last invasion of privacy. Now can we be honest with each other? What gives with the distance? I thought we were closer. Who knew? Last time that I held you was a century ago. Give or take a day or two. But the world goes spinning, so do I. Trying to figure out fall apart, make us chase them all till we're crazy. One question I've got, you know that it's been rolling around my mind. We fought and we fought.
Don.
Thanks, Don.
You're welcome. Thank you. Before we go, we should mention again, thanks to Spaces for hosting
Spaces
us here.
DC.
Thanks to Alex for doing all this. We are going to bring Don back tomorrow. We're all going to camp out here tonight.
That's right.
Bring Don back tomorrow.
Roast some marshmallows.
Yeah, that's right. And raid the fridge.
Yeah, that's that, right. Yep.
Have more interview with Don Zantara tomorrow.
Can't wait.
And more performance. Please listen to our show frequently.
Every day.
Every day. We do this for
every
you
day.
You can find us on all the big podcast platforms, and also if you have thoughts on DC Punk, Discord, Don Zantara, anything like that, you can call 612-440-1984.
Oh, I
brought the jingle.
Yeah.
Wow. We'll have to call that up on my computer later.
We can do that.
We can get a critique here from the producer. Also, you can email us rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at suburbspod. Again, a round of applause for Don Zantara.
Thanks, Don.
Called an Easter morning prayer from a long time ago. This definitely is a long time ago. It's on no album. Woke up in the morning, there was a noise outside. The street was sun will be rising in an hour or two. I can't waste my time now attending on you. In the confusion, two autos had crashed. The collision was minor, the drivers were smashed. The cars disappeared from what I could see. drivers remain staring up at me. Sun finally rose, it was quiet outside. My shade was drawn, I received no light. I awoke with a pillow curled round my head to keep out the monsters that were stalking my bed. Woke up in the morning, the hungry man cried, but the play's already written, he was given no lines. Christ will be coming in an hour or two, but I can't waste my time now on someone like you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Wow. That was great.
So you're like the FBI. You know all the answers before you ask the questions, huh?
I wish.